you've got to look at it more of an investment, right, haven't you? Like, it's not like a expense, like I'm spending £5,000 on ads, you're investing £5,000 in buying more customers.
Hi everyone, welcome back to the Stay Hungry podcast. It's Joel and Martha, and today we're talking about if you can't buy a customer, you haven't got a business. Martha, how are you doing?
I'm good, how are you?
Tired. What are we doing, recording at 10 to 6 on a Monday night before we've got to go to the airport at 5 a.m.
Yeah.
Tuesday.
Grind is real.
Did you hear my Siri try and interrupt then?
Even Siri wants to go home.
Don't stop saying it. She'll interrupt again. Where are we going on the plane?
We are going to Belfast for a 365 experience. Woo!
With Accelerator Productions.
Yeah.
Shout out.
Yeah.
Martin Irvine and the crew. Yeah, that'll be good. Photos and videos for Codebreak content, plus annual team meeting, taking the whole crew, which feels like a step to something more mental in the future.
Yeah, first international.
Yeah, does it count? I mean, at least we're going in the air.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you've got some fair trips lined up.
Yeah.
So that's a bit different. They're definitely international. So, if you can't buy a customer, you haven't got a business, what do I mean?
Well, you can get so far with people you know, referrals, but at some point, if you want to grow, you've got to do cold outreach. You've got to find your people. They're not going to find you.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that, like, people often come to us and say, oh, I've been at £200,000 a year for 4 years, or I've been at £500,000 a year for 4 years, and I can't scale any further. And I'm like, well, what's your cost per acquisition? And they say, I don't know. Why don't you know? Why don't you know how much it costs you to get a customer? And I've never looked at it. Right, okay. So how much do you spend on marketing? And some people, nothing. Some people, £40,000. Some people, £100,000. Okay. And how many customers did you get in that period? Don't know. Right, okay. Well, let's find out how many customers you got in that period and how much you spent on marketing. And roughly, roundabout, that's your cost per acquisition. And then once you know that figure, assuming that it's good, so if you sell something for £400 and your cost per acquisition is £30, you're probably going to be pretty chuffed with that. Then we can scale from there because we can go and buy more customers, assuming that you've got an actual marketing process that allows you to do that. Now, the problem for a lot of people that we bump into is they chop and change their marketing process so much that their cost per acquisition's all over the shop and they don't know what worked and what didn't. So what would be a typical thing Codebreak would do first?
Well, once we've gone through the figures, because we need to know what is a viable cost per acquisition, because if it's costing you a lot more to acquire your customer than what you can ever make back, then we've got to look at something else.
Like allowable cost per acquisition. Yeah. That's interesting. Have you seen the latest Little Mermaid?
No, I haven't. Has it just come out
on Disney? I watched it yesterday, yeah. It's very good. I don't know what it's got to do with it.
Yeah, where are we going with that?
I don't know. It wouldn't go out of my head. I was like, how do I transition to Little Mermaid? And I couldn't think of a transition.
I thought you were going to tell me like how much it cost for like the actors, like how much they were paid versus revenue.
So that's a point, right? That if the budget for a movie is, say, 100 million, very often the marketing budget for the movie, this is a good segue. Very often the marketing budget for the movie doubles the budget for the movie. So if the film costs 100 million to make, they'll spend another 100 million marketing it. So to break even, they've got to make 200 million. And then not many films do.
Well, look at the Barbie. Like, that has been like a monopoly. That,
well, like the opposite, yeah.
For that film was incredible.
But it's
the marketing budget was astronomical.
See, like Barbie, Toy Story, they didn't know with Toy Story the first one. Star Wars falls into this. When you market that film, you're not just marketing the film.
It's a brand.
Yeah, it's the toys, the clothes, the lunchboxes, everything else. So, and this is a really good point with, like, say it costs you £20 to acquire a customer. So let's say for every person that went to watch Barbie, it costs £20 to acquire that customer. If a cinema ticket is £15, on the face of it, that's been shit because you've lost £5. But what you haven't factored in is they then bought popcorn, they bought drinks, they maybe got a hot dog. Then perhaps they went and bought a Barbie doll and they bought a pink t-shirt to wear to the... And suddenly, let's say all of that fell under the same brand, which I know it doesn't, but if it did, that £20 acquisition could have been worth £100 to you.
Or they tell their friend and then you've acquired another customer for nothing.
Yeah.
And then suddenly your cost per acquisition is halved.
Yeah, exactly. So if you run like a Shopify store and let's say you kind of run a loss leader campaign, so you've got something shiny that looks really good on Instagram and your cost per acquisition is 10 quid and for each of those you sell, you make 5 quid back. On paper, you've lost £5. But what you've actually done is bought a load of leads to then come and buy the stuff that you really want to sell them. So you've sold them a pin badge, but they're coming back to buy a jacket. So if one in five then come back and buy a £200 jacket, it's cost you 50 quid to acquire the five. You made 25 quid back on the pin badges straight away. So you're only in 25 quid loss, and then they bought a 200 quid jacket. Suddenly you're in £175 profit, and you've got five people to sell to rather than one, plus they might go and tell their five mates.
And a lot of e-commerce, they do make the money on the second sale.
Yeah.
But that also leads into the point of why you can't just chop and change your marketing strategy, because you don't know that it's worked until you've given it enough time for that person to come back, for their referrals to come in. Because that is a huge issue we see with a lot of our clients that come into us, is that they haven't given anything enough time. Like with Facebook ads, the platform's got to learn. Shopify, same thing. Yeah. It knows who's buying. It will find more people like that, but you've got to give it time. Even AI isn't that quick.
You've got to give it time and budget.
Yeah.
Like we work with a guy who only works with coaches, and he spends between 20 and 40 grand a month on ads, right? That, to most people in the coaching world, will be mental. But he's in profit. Like, he's making way more than that back. It's just that's what it takes to get the level of data for it to be effective. Where we meet people who are like, oh, I tried Facebook ads and they dropped 50 quid on it, got two leads and neither of them answered the phone and they've given up.
Yeah, like a £5 a day budget is not going to make a dent.
Yeah. Well, today, so I won't name any names, but you've launched some ads for a cake school. £100 a day budget. So a decent budget, £3 grand a month is a chunky budget for a small business. Not huge, but decent for the start of a campaign. I think it was something ridiculous. Like, we looked before and it had spent 50 quid and already got 77 leads.
Yeah.
But if the budget had been £5 a day, that wouldn't have happened.
No.
Because Facebook can't, there's not enough data for Facebook to learn the audience and to go after the people most likely to sign up.
No. And then how long would it take you, quick maths, to spend £100 on a £5 a day budget, and would you have already given up before you even got there?
Exactly. And like, we coach a lot of our clients on, it's the cost of doing business, that you kind of got to be, you got to have some skin in the game. And they're like, but I haven't got any money. Like, well, don't be in business then. And that sounds brutal. Like, it sounds awful. And like, I started my business with 5 quid in my back pocket and a laptop sort of thing. So I do get it. But at the same time, there's certain sectors. If you want to be in e-commerce or coaching, cake making, ironically, but anything where there was high competition, you got to have some skin in the game. You got to be willing to be like, right, I'm willing to drop 5 grand to find out how much it costs me to get a lead. And because I'll then know how much a lead costs and how many I convert, I'll know how much it costs me to get a customer, and then I'll go again. And like, people are like, oh, shit, where do I find 5 grand? Well, you'd find 5 grand if you needed a new car, and a new car gets you from A to B. Your business is your livelihood.
Yeah. And it's, you've got to look at it more of an investment, right, haven't you? Like, it's not like a expense, like, I'm spending 5 grand on ads. You're investing 5 grand in buying more customers.
Yeah, unless you're working with someone shit on your ads.
You will get customers.
Well, you'll definitely get leads. From 5 grand, you know, you're going to get 100+ leads, probably more. And within that, there will be customers. Now, you'll have a problem if the thing you sell is 20p, but the agency you're working with should be able to advise you on what's the right thing to do.
Yeah. And if the thing you sell is 20p, it shouldn't cost you that much to acquire.
Well, like, our cost per acquisition is about 5 grand. For our business, that would scare most people off from ever wanting to run a marketing company. Because they'd be like, what the fuck do I find 5 grand to get a customer? But obviously that's profitable for us and we know what our margins are and stuff on the other side. But I've met like freelancers that want to go into marketing and I know the cost per acquisition for them, for the fees that they want to charge, is going to be north of a grand. And they're like, well, I haven't got a grand to... I'm like, well, don't play the game then. Go and you got to charge less and go after people that aren't willing to pay what you're asking for. And that's the nature of business. Like the cost per acquisition for Ferrari is going to be mental. It's like, if I have no idea what a Ferrari costs because I don't care. But
no, I don't.
Let's assume the average Ferrari costs £250,000. The cost per acquisition on that is probably 50 grand.
But then the marketing they get from somebody driving around a Ferrari.
Yeah. Yeah, the brand itself, like they probably sell more in revenue of Ferrari hats than they do of Ferraris every year. It's like, and you know, there's for every 10 people that buy a £250,000 Ferrari, there's probably one that buys a £2 million Ferrari. It's that. But the cost per acquisition, depending on what segment you're in, really matters. And, you know, a lot of people at the moment are in the coaching segment, whether it's business coaching, mindset coaching, woo-woo coaching, PT coaching. Like, the coaching segment's absolutely booming. Completely unregulated industry. It's like the fucking Wild West. And you've got people who are trying to charge 10 grand a year or 20 grand a year or 50 grand a year who are only willing to spend 50p to acquire a customer and then saying, oh, my marketing doesn't work. It's like, no, your fucking maths doesn't work. You're like, you're off your head. It's like, and we see it over and over again, like, you're fucking mental. Like, you want 20 grand per customer coming in, but you've literally got 50p in a packet of peanuts to acquire them. Who in their right mind is going to work with you if you won't spend on yourself? Well, I need to get the customers before I can spend. That's not how the game works. Like, our business grew slowly because I couldn't afford to buy customers. Now we're in a position to buy customers. It's almost like, right, like I already said, it costs us 5 grand to get a customer. How many 5 grands can I find?
Yeah, exactly. And another thing to be said, I think, is the investment in the data, like getting to know your business, like where people are hanging. If you're driving traffic to your website, where are they hanging around, or yeah, where are they put off? Or like, maybe you've spent money on acquiring these leads and they all have the same pain point. So how do you address that pain point in your marketing so that you can make it easier?
You'll like this.
To acquire them.
You'll like this. So we obviously do a lot of landing pages for people, and very often it'd be signing up for a webinar or signing up for a free training. I just put a plug in on one of our longer serving clients who lets me test shit on him, on his landing page. That it's not a plug in, but plug in for the sake of the list. It's a piece of code that every time someone signs up, the next person that visits the page, so say I just signed up on the page for this webinar, the next person that visits the page, it'll pop up after 3 seconds saying, Joel in England just signed up for this webinar 30 seconds ago.
Nice.
And that social proof increases the number of signups. So the company we've used to help us do that say that it actually increases signups by 50%. Like, that's mad. But we would only be able to do that if we knew how many signups we were getting in the first place.
Yeah.
There's no good someone going on there and it pops up as, Joel in England signed up 7 weeks ago.
7 years ago.
Yeah. Or like, there's been 3 visits to this website in the last 6 years. Yeah, it's like... But that kind of thing, they're the kind of things you can invest in to get the cost per acquisition down. And that's the reason why you should approach a marketing company. If you've successfully built your business and your cost per acquisition is a grand, and you know that every client's worth 10 grand to you, you would then approach a marketing company to help get the cost per acquisition down, and also the like subsequent impact of the acquisition up. So for every customer I acquire, I subsequently acquire 2 other customers because of referral. That's what a marketing company should be helping you do. But what people think a marketing company does is just gets you more leads. Well, if they get you more leads and you've got no concept of how to acquire those leads into a customer, you're wasting your money.
Yeah, no, exactly. Or like how to follow them up.
Yeah.
That we have that a lot, don't we? Is that a lot of our clients come to us who have been with other marketing agencies who are like, well, here are your leads. And it's like, no, right, so what are you doing after? Like, are you going to call them? Have you got anything to nurture them? Are you going to give them anything of value? And it's like, no.
Well, that's the bit where I would say most small business owners are at their most uncomfortable. The bit where they've got people to follow up on they've not sold yet, so there's a real risk of rejection, a real fear of rejection. And it's very, like, the things we hear, so we regularly hear people say, I'm not fucking ringing them. I rang people in my career. I don't want to ring people in my entrepreneurship. Or, like, I emailed them once and they didn't reply. Or, surely they'll ring me if they really want it. Like, these kind of things, and we hear it every day, so we're used to it. But they're just objections from business owners that are afraid of rejection or failure. And the kind of news flash is, that's the bit where the money's made. That's what takes you from being an all right business that you make a living out of to being a legit business that you can scale. When you figure out, for every 10 leads I get a new customer. And for every new customer I can reinvest 10% of that back in my marketing and scale the business on the other end. And repeat, rinse and repeat, rinse and repeat, rinse and repeat. Most businesses never get there because they're too afraid of that rejection.
And it doesn't have to be you. Like, I'd be the first to say I'm not the best salesperson because I'm like everybody's mate. I want everyone, yeah, you know, to be my best mate. Yeah, so sure. Yeah, no worries. You can have all my commission because I really like you.
Yeah, yeah.
But it doesn't have, like, it can be, there's so many good salespeople out there and you could just hand them the list and say,
yeah,
ring through these.
And I completely appreciate not everyone's going to ring people. But if you're selling a high ticket thing, coaching, mentoring, membership, cars, snooker tables, like, you can go at kitchens, there's going to need to be some face-to-face. That might be a call, it could be a Zoom, it could be an appointment, but they're going to want to hear your voice, see the whites of your eyes, touch it, feel it, all like these things that you just can't do any other way. And everyone can find an example of someone who became a millionaire just through email, but you're not going to be.
Yeah.
And it's like, and like, you can argue, say, I might be, like, I was just hoping you could write me some really convincing emails so people buy. I can write you very convincing emails. I can't change how most people behave. And just because this one person figured out a way to sell to everyone doesn't mean it's going to be, yeah, or did they? That's the other thing is, or did they? Like, particularly in the coaching world where everyone's a fucking seven-figure business. Seven figures in the last 12 months or seven figures in the last 12 years? Because it's not the same. I'm on one today. Get me on podcasts at night.
Yeah.
So, yeah, but that, like, I'm looking for a kitchen at the moment and I don't know anything about kitchens and I'm not very good at DIY. And, like, if someone told me a granite worktop versus a fucking marble worktop, I don't care. But that's precisely the reason someone needs to come around and show me what they're talking about. It's no, like, I've made the mistake before of buying something very expensive without looking at it. And then when I crashed it, I didn't get it back for 10 months. So I'm not doing that again.
Have you been served any ads for kitchens since you've been in the market?
No, bad, right? Bad. That's interesting, that. Not at all. So I've been on the Howdens website about 6,000 times. No retargeting whatsoever. I've been on Checkatrade to try and find a local installer who's got good reviews locally and will serve where I live, and you don't get retargeted by that either.
That is wild.
Big companies, right?
Yeah.
Big companies.
Howdens, that really surprises me.
I don't know how much you're going to spend on a kitchen. Discuss.
Oh, God, I don't know. I'm, well,
you're buying a house.
Yeah, but it's got a kitchen in.
Yeah. Well, mine's got a kitchen, but needs a different kitchen apparently.
Yeah, I don't know, I'm just getting into that adult life, but being in like kitchen showrooms or like furnitures like makes me feel like when I was a kid and my mum used to drag me around, it felt like I was there for hours. I'm like, nope, I'm bored, I don't want
to
be here.
So the game seems to be that if you go cheap, it's sort of $5,000. The mid-range seems to be 5 to about 15. Then upper tier seems to be about 15 to 25, and then bespoke is like you could spend $100,000.
And is the $5,000 like just the kitchen before you get it fitted?
Depends on the fitter, I suppose.
Mm.
I mean, yeah, I don't know what. Like, I really like our house, so I'm probably going to chuck some money at this. But I don't get that. Like, if these companies are looking to decrease their cost per acquisition, see, Howdens have got me over a barrel, right? I know Howdens are good kitchens, but they're not following me up. And the other day, I couldn't find the kitchen that I was looking at. And that really pisses me off. You know, like when you spend time looking at something and then you can't find it again. That company is making a mistake. They should be serving you that.
Yeah.
Because if you've spent more than 90 seconds on that page, it should be following you around the internet. The other thing is, I found a fitter on Checkatrade that looked really good and now I can't find them either. So, like, let's say there's $4,000 in it for the fitter probably more, I'm fucking clueless, and 20 grand in it for Howdens. So there's a 24 grand customer lurking here. They should be looking to spend at least 2 grand to acquire that customer across that spend. And that, I can tell you that they're not doing that.
Or at least get your details so that you find you when you're ready.
Nothing. It blows my mind. Howdens make it difficult to buy because they're trade only. So you need a fitter to be able to go and get it. And that on its own is like pissing me off. I'm like, you're just making it more difficult.
Yeah. Like,
sell me a kitchen.
Yeah. I'll pay the extra 20%. Just give it to me and make it easy.
Yeah. Very confusing. I mean, they've got this talk about free design service now, but then that makes me nervous because I'm like, you're just going to send some spotty teenager from behind the counter round with a laser pen.
Yeah, that can't be easy as a graphic designer to watch somebody else. I'm
assuming they come and like measure the space and then tell you what you can fit in and what goes where, and they should know more about it than me, but I just don't trust that they will.
Well, yeah, I've heard some horror stories of kitchens that don't fit or haven't been measured. Oh,
fucking great.
Yeah.
How do we get onto this?
I don't know, but I feel like it's quite boring.
Brilliant.
Who cares about kitchens?
We went from Barbie to kitchens. But that whole point is, back to the original topic, if you don't know what you're willing to spend to acquire a customer, you cannot scale your business. And most small business owners, not all, never get past that point of like that plateau towards exponential growth. Because ultimately, when they should spend the money on acquiring more customers, they spend it on something else.
Exactly. But like, if you don't want to like invest your time, then get somebody to do it for you who knows what they're doing, so you don't have to make mistakes. They won't do
that
either.
That's I find that fascinating, is we meet so many business owners who are at 250,000 or 500,000 turnover, and you're like, you've got more leads than you know what to do with. Just get a salesperson to rattle through these leads. Oh, that'll cost me money. No, it's an investment, not a cost. I can't. I'm going to Marbella next week. You fucking what? Cancel Marbella. Like, how much do you want this? And obviously that's where the Stay Hungry podcast comes in. It's like, if you don't want it enough, don't do it. Fine.
That was meaty. That was good.
That's heavy shit.
So very important.
What do people need to do to find out more about us?
They can visit our website.
Which is?
cobreak.co.uk.
And what do they need to do if they want to work with us?
Book in a discovery call. You'll be straight on the line. Pick a time that suits you. Me or you will call you at that time. No messing about. You don't have to faff around with phone tennis. We'll give you a call. We'll see how we can help. If we can't help, we'll give you some value. I mean, we have it. Like, I speak to a few people who, like, are like, oh, I want to spend like a grand on ads. So that leaves me about £500. And I'm like, then maybe a freelancer would be better for you until you're at the point where we can help you. Like, if we can't help you, we will say, it's not the right time.
You still get value out of the call.
Yeah.
Yeah, 100%.
And we're not like lean, mean seller machines. Like, it is a call with me or Evie who've been here.
They are lean, mean seller machines.
So long, I can't even remember.
They give you all that value so that you buy from us. All right, take care, everyone.
Bye.